I'd like to speak this morning on clarifying our guidance. I had originally called this clarifying our goals, but the more I studied it, I realized that the end result is the clarifying of our guidance. And so I'd like to call this morning clarifying our guidance. Some might say, well, why are you preaching a Christmas sermon 2 or 3 weeks after Christmas? Well, this really is not a Christmas sermon. In fact, it's not really a Christmas portion. You say, well, it talks about Jesus being born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, but you notice it starts immediately on talking about the wise men, and the wise men did not come to see the Savior until well after a year. The baby was somewhere within a year to 2 years old before the wise men came to see him and worship him and give him gifts. And so rather than being 3 weeks late, I am about 49 weeks early, at least, if we consider it was only a year after. And so this is strictly not a Christmas portion from that standpoint. And we're accustomed to seeing the wise men and the shepherd all in the same stable. But the wise men did not come to the stable. They came to the house where Joseph and Mary were living and probably lived for near to 2 years after the birth of Christ. As I read this portion, I was impressed with the number of situations in which God guided his people. One of the most common questions, I think, today from young people is, how can I know God's will? They want guidance. I think in Matthew chapter 2 here we find some clues for clarifying God's guidance in our lives. First of all, notice that we have here some illustrations of guidance. We have the illustration of the wise men. Now, these wise men were guided by a star. But actually, this implies something else. They had some previous guidance in that somebody must have told them that there was going to be a star and that it was going to have a significant meaning. And so prior to the star, there must have been either people or literature, copies of the scripture, or believers who had shared with these men that there would come a star and that it would have a special meaning and what that meaning would be. And so we find that they had guidance even previous to the star. Then the star disappeared for a while, and they got their guidance from the chief priests. And they went to King Herod, and he didn't know, so he called the chief priests, and they looked in the scriptures and said, well, this is what the scriptures say, that it would be in Bethlehem that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. And so they got some of their guidance then through Herod and through the chief priests. Then as they went on their way, the star appeared again. And so once again, the star was giving them some guidance. And after the star showed them the exact house where Joseph and Mary were living, where this young boy was that they had come to see and to worship, we find that then they received some additional guidance. God appeared to them in a dream. God spoke to them in a dream. And he guided them to go home by a different way and not to return to Herod. So we find here these wise men were led from a distant land here to a home in a small village of Judea and then back home again to their distant country. They had clear guidance and they accomplished their purpose. And we find here another example of guidance, that of Joseph and Mary. We find that God spoke to Joseph in a dream and told Joseph that he should leave this town of Bethlehem and that he should go to Egypt, take the child and his mother to the land of Egypt. Joseph had this dream, and Mary then, trusting God's guidance through Joseph, went with the small child as well to the land of Egypt. Once they got down to Egypt, they were there for a while. Once again, God spoke to Joseph by a dream and said, I want you to leave the land of Egypt. He didn't tell him then exactly where he wanted him to go. He just told him to leave. And so Joseph picked up and left the land of Egypt. As he was coming towards Palestine, hearing that Herod's son was king, he debated, wondering if he should go back to Bethlehem or not. He wanted to go back to Bethlehem. I think they liked it in Bethlehem. I think they felt perhaps that's where they should stay. But they wondered because of Herod's son, who was, if possible, more wicked than his father. And they were afraid to go back, and then God gave them additional guidance by another dream and told them to go to Galilee. And they went up into Galilee. And in each case here, Matthew quotes Scripture to confirm the fact that they had legitimate guidance from God, and in each case found the specific place where God wanted them. And so we see the scriptural confirmations here that their guidance was good. Secondly, we notice in this portion some of the characteristics of their guidance. We notice in these examples that there was natural guidance and supernatural guidance. In other words, what I mean is that God guided sometimes by natural means and God guided sometimes by supernatural means. Someone must have told these wise men about the coming of a star and its significance, and so here we have some guidance by natural means. Someone had shared this with them, perhaps showed them the scripture portions. And so human means were used to guide the wise men in their original steps. We find also that when they got to Jerusalem and the star disappeared, that they went to King Herod, and Herod found the chief priests and got some more answers there. So we have some more natural guidance. What I mean is guidance by natural means. God used people to give them some clarity in their guidance. We find that there were supernatural means also. The star, for example. Now, that might have been a natural star. However, it seems as though there were some very supernatural directions given by this star, and the fact that it disappeared just when God wanted it to, and that it appeared again, and it came and stood over the house, it just seems like a very supernatural means of guidance. God went out of his way to make sure that they found what he wanted them to find. And then we find here many instances of guidance by means of dreams. Four times that God used dreams to guide either the wise men or Joseph and Mary. These dreams were used here in this unusual circumstance. And I think that extreme circumstances at times cause God to use extreme guidance. God does not use extreme methods of guidance all the time, but I believe there are circumstances, there are times when God uses unusual, definitely supernatural ways of guiding us when the situation merits it. I remember just a few months after I had come to know Christ as Savior, in the Navy, we left the training base where they were training us to be aviation electronic technicians. That sounded good, but all it meant was if a radio was bad, you just put a tag on it, BAD, and then you send it off to get it fixed. But anyway, they put us then on the training base where they trained the pilots, and we had to keep their radios working for them. One night we were having practice night flying. They would take off and land on a pitch black airstrip with no landing lights and no airstrip lights, only by radio. They didn't even have radar developed to the point where they would land that way. They were landing, the officer was down there on the edge of the airstrip with his radio and saying a little to the right and a little to the left and not quite so fast down. And it was quite an experience, believe me. And as I was sitting there in the radio shack, one of the pilots called in that he was having trouble with his radio. And so I took off for the airstrip. And as was my custom, this type of a two-motor plane trainer plane, and the wheels, front wheels, would stick out, and it wasn't that high a plane, and I have a pretty good start on altitude anyway. So my custom was, as I would run out to those planes, I'd hit that front wheel with one foot, and the other foot would be up on the wing. And it would save me from going all the way around the wing and back up the back end of the two-cockpit trainer plane. It was just the way I always did it. It was a lot faster and easier. And so as I ran out that pitch-black field, the roar of the airplanes overhead, I saw the plane sitting there all alone. I knew which one it was, and so I headed for it and was just about ready to place my right foot on the wheel to get my left foot up on the wing, when for some reason or other I stopped. I didn't know why I stopped. It couldn't have been the noise, because the noise was already deafening. It couldn't have been I'd seen anything, because it was really dark. I didn't know why I stopped, until all of a sudden I felt just a gentle flutter about 6 inches from my face. It was a propeller. Well, I don't think God always stops us dead in our tracks without really knowing why. But I felt at that time it was kind of supernatural guidance, that God felt that He still wanted me around for a little while, and He had done this in this way. I believe that God does use very supernatural means to guide us when the situation warrants it, and He can do this, and we can trust Him for it. But we should not be looking to God for supernatural means in ordinary circumstances. Some people like to have God shout down from heaven when they should tie their shoelace, and I don't think God works that way. But we shouldn't limit God either as to what He can do when the situation warrants it. So we have here natural means of guidance and supernatural means. Thirdly, let's notice the clarity of the guidance given to the people here in this chapter. Now, God's guidance really is always clear. God wants us to be led by Him, and He is not the author of confusion. And so God's guidance, basically in itself, is always clear. However, the clarity of His guidance in my life is definitely related to the nature and the clarity of my goals in life. My goals in life can confuse God's guidance for my life. Now, in the situation here, for example, the wise men. Supposing these wise men had had life goals of wanting to be rich, riches, or leisure, or intellectual attainment, etc., etc. Supposing their life goals were oriented in that direction, they would either not have seen the star at all, or if they had seen it, they might have experienced only mild curiosity as to its nature, as to what it meant. And of course, any story about a king over there in Egypt, or over there in Palestine, even if it were true, it would be too far to go. Who would expect you really to go that far? Who would expect all of that sacrifice? And so if their goals had been self-oriented, the star really wouldn't have helped them too much. Its meaning would not have been clear to them. But since their life goals were to know God and to worship Him, and this is proven to us by the fact that they read the scriptures about the Messiah, or at least heard them explained to them, the appearance of the star then had clear meaning to them, because that was where their desire was. They wanted God. They wanted to worship God. He was important to them. And so all the expense and inconvenience of the projected journey didn't hinder them one bit. It did not deter them in their efforts to find God and worship Him. Their goal in life made their guidance very clear. In fact, even when it got to the place where it seemed as though their guidance had failed and the star had disappeared and they didn't know what to do, their goals were clear. They were determined to find Him. And they just took the next step, and they said, well, now what do we do? Let's go talk to Herod. The king of the country, he should know something. If he can't find out, who can? And so their goals were so clear that even when it seemed as though their guidance was failing, they kept right on tune with it. And the next step of guidance, we knew that God had for them. God wanted to guide them through Herod. And so their guidance remained clear, even when it looked like it was fading. And as a result, they were probably, we don't know, but they were probably the only persons from their entire nation to worship the Christ child in person, because their goals were very clear. Their guidance was clear as well. Joseph, for example. Joseph was in Bethlehem, had been living there for a year or more, undoubtedly well settled now, a comfortable little town. He'd gotten away from all the gossip of Nazareth, and I'm sure they really enjoyed living there in the town of Bethlehem. And all of a sudden came the command, take the child to Egypt. Now, Egypt had a different language, different culture. The journey would not be comfortable with a small child, especially. There could have been many, many reasons why Joseph's guidance would have been hazy. Does God really want me to go to Egypt? I'm so comfortable here. It's so nice here. I enjoy this leisure and pleasure and good job and security. If those had been his goals, his guidance would have been very fuzzy. But since he had the determination and the goal that he was going to have God's best for his life at any cost, the guidance came through loud and clear. We read that he obeyed. And God led him in just a marvelous way to fulfill, step by step, the promised scriptures. Now, how does this work in our own lives? Well, we would, of course, like this supernatural guidance. Wouldn't it be nice if God always had a star up above? And there it was, and when it moved, that's all you had to do. And, oh, there it goes. But God doesn't always lead that way. And in fact, if my goals were not clear, would I even see the star? And if I saw it, would it even mean anything to me? And even if it meant something to me, would I take the time and energy and expense to even follow it? And so the clarity of our guidance does not depend on God. His guidance is always clear. He chooses the clearest way to show us his will. Our guidance becomes fuzzy when our goals are either improper or unclear, because his guidance comes filtered through my goals. If my goals in life are oriented towards self-advancement or personal comfort or public opinion, etc., I would convince myself that the star was merely a coincidence, and probably that the dreams were just dill pickles. They wouldn't be significant to me, because my life goals would not allow me to see clearly his guidance. So it isn't important whether God's guidance is supernatural or natural, whether he uses people or stars. The important thing, that our guidance be clear, that our guidance will only be as clear as the nature and clarity of our goals. Now, guidance then is confused when our life goals are confused. I think back during my years as a missionary, what were my life goals? I don't know, as I thought about it, I wondered if I'd even thought about it. I really hadn't been oriented to specifically go through and check out what are my real goals in life. I think I was just going on. You know, you get saved, and then it's kind of thought, well, if if you can, you ought to serve the Lord. And if you want to serve the Lord, you want to go all the way, then you'd be a missionary. That's where you sacrifice most. All this kind of nonsense, you know, that people talk about. And then you go, and of course, if you're on the mission field, well, then you're supposed to do something, and so you work hard, and you got a lot of competition, fellow missionaries, and you just keep going on and on. And I wonder, did I really ever determine what my life goals were? I don't think I really ever sat down and thought it out. What were my life goals? I suppose looking back and trying now to evaluate what they might have been, I suppose one of them would have been to be a great missionary. Of course, that goal would make me put God's work on high priority, because if you're going to be a great missionary, you know, you've got to do a lot of work and be able to come back and say, boy, look what I did. So you have to work hard. God's work would have high priority. And as I looked back at that, I thought, well, that adds up. Because the guidance, as far as the missionary call, was clear. And all the guidance that would come through, as far as the Bible Institute, as far as the establishing of the churches, the guidance in those areas would come through strong and clear, because my goals were clear there. Some of the other areas, the needs of my fellow missionaries, family, even personal needs, sometimes got kind of confused. I think the goals weren't really clear in those areas. The guidance from God, I think, was distorted at times, because it had to plow through some confused and lopsided goals. And I think it's very, very true in our lives that our guidance will be distorted by our goals. Now, if that's true, I believe it is, we need to do some real searching as to what our goals are. If my guidance will be distorted by my goals, I need to really make sure what they are, or I will not have clear guidance. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to... my goals aren't the things I've attained unto. My goals are the things I'm aiming at. And as I thought this through, of what I would like my goals to be, and what before God I want them to be and want to set my aim at, not that I've attained these things, but the direction I want to go, to have clear goals and enjoy clear guidance, I think for right now at least I would list three. My first goal is I would like to be a worshiper of God. I would like to be a worshiper of God. We read in Scripture, Jesus says, the Father seeketh such to worship Him, those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. God is looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if that's what God is looking for, that's what I want to be. I want to be a worshiper of God, of His person. Not of religious work, but of His person. In place of personal relationship to Him as my top priority. I think the second goal I would like to have is I would like to be a participator of God. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. He intends for us to be a participator of Him. And even here in a special way, He wants me to be a participator of Him in the sense that he is the perfect father. Now, you don't have to be a father to be a participator, but I just noticed this special emphasis here. Jesus says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, that means that he wants me to be the same kind of father that he is, and to participate in his fatherhood, in the sense that he wants me to be the same kind of father to my family that he is to me. He wants my home to be like his home. My home here on earth to be like his home up in heaven. And so I would like to be a participator of my Heavenly Father. And in the third place, I would like to be a sharer of God. This refers to public ministry. Because as I become a worshiper of God, and as I become a participator of God, I suddenly have a lot to share. And I want to be a sharer of God. I want to worship my Father. And I want to participate of my Father. And I want to share my Father. Now, the result of this is that God's guidance is clarified and sharpened in ways we never dreamt possible before. You know, it wasn't until I tried to clarify my goals that I realized what they really were. And actually, that a lot of my goals weren't the things I really wanted. Now, you know, the sad thing, when we have goals that we really don't want, we don't realize we have them because we haven't clarified them. And when we clarify them, we find that isn't what I really want anyway. But as long as I have those goals, even though I don't understand them and wouldn't even really want them, they're still my goals. Then the disappointing thing is when I attain my goals, I have what I didn't really want anyhow. And life becomes terribly frustrating. But as I clarify my goals, I find out what I really want. And then God's guidance comes through loud and clear. When our goals become scriptural and clear, our guidance clarifies and our joy becomes full, because then we start getting what we really want. When my guidance fails, it's because I have violated my goals. They have lost their clarity. So I have to ask myself, what do I really want in life? What do I really want in life? Can I sit down and write it out, make the list? This is what I really want. I think you'll find your guidance will be confusing until you clarify your goals, what you really want in life. And once your goals are clarified, the guidance will be clear. So we pray. Father, this morning, we thank Thee that Thou art concerned, very concerned, that we see clearly the steps of guidance that you have for our lives. You desire, Father, that we day by day with sparkling clarity see the direction that you want us to take. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us now to really think through, what do we want out of life? What are my goals? Father, this morning, we would desire, above all else, to worship Thee in spirit and truth. We would desire, Father, above all else, to participate of Thy holiness. And we would desire, Father, the joy of sharing with others Thy goodness. We thank You, Father, that we will not lack that sparkling, clear guidance in every aspect of our lives, that we can then have the joy of sharing with those with whom You bring us in contact. I wonder, just before we close now, we could have just a moment of silent prayer. Will you think about your goals? What are your goals? What do you really want? Can you state them? Could you write them down? Would you be able to write them down? Would you be able to state them clearly? These are my goals in life. This is what I'm after. What they are? Now, if you know what they are, you can see them right now. You can just see the list in your mind. These are my goals. Is that what you really want? Now, really, is that what you want? Or do you want to clarify them? Do you want to change some of them? Will you do that? Just change them right now. Tell God, Lord, I didn't realize that those were my goals, and I'm not really very happy with them. That's why I've been getting a lot of guidance that wasn't very pleasing to me, and a lot of things happening that I didn't really want. Will you clarify them? According to Scripture. And if you'll do that, you'll find guidance like you've never had before. Because God gives His guidance loud and clear. Father, we thank You for this. We pray that Thou wouldst honor this morning the determinations, the decisions we've made in our hearts as to what our goals are going to be. And we thank You for the promise, for the assurance. Thou art not a God of confusion, and that we will see clearly the steps You want us to take. We thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. In our hymnals, number 300, Precious Promise God Hath Given, the weary passerby, on the way from earth to heaven, I will guide thee with mine eye. I will guide thee. I will guide thee with mine eye. God desires that we experience specific, clear guidance. And here's a promise. Let's claim this promise as we sing it, just the first and last verses. Shall we stand as we sing? Thank you. I don't see really how this fits into my situation. If you would like to talk about it, we'd just be more than glad to do so. You just mention to me. We'll set a time. We can talk. I don't say that I have the answers, but sometimes as we talk together and look in God's Word, He would have something that would help you. If what I've said is not clear to you in some way, I just want you to know that I am available. And we just love to talk about it, and perhaps your problem will be helping me to find some new aspect of guidance. And so we help one another in that way. I'd just like to assure you that we'd love to have you bring to us any problems you have along this line that are confusing to you. Let's sing the last stanza.